court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Welcome to Court Appointed, two dudes' perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
Tommy, we're trucking on to October. We're almost in the middle of October now.
It's hard to believe.
I know, it's hard to believe because it's so warm outside.
Yeah, it's still 80 degrees every day. How can it be October?
Now, the leaves have started to change, though, but I still don't quite have that Halloween-y feeling.
Well, I'm glad you don't have a Halloween-y feeling.
But to get everybody in the Halloween-y spirit, I thought it'd be fun to look at contract law.
Oh, yeah. Nothing says Halloween like contract law.
Well, and this one
is pretty scary.
It can be. Some of those clauses are pretty intimidating. No, but this contract law that I was going to talk about does kind of have a Halloween theme to it.
Oh, really?
It does. It's a contract with selling your soul to the devil.
Selling our soul to the devil?
Yeah.
Well, who would do such a thing?
It's a classic story. You know, it first started off with Faust, and that was the German folk legend, and it's made appearances. It's a common, I guess, plot device in a lot of popular culture and different things.
Hmm. Well, all right. So that's our Halloween-y theme-y is selling our soul to the devil, huh? And
that's
how
right.
To make a proper contract. If you're going to do it right, huh?
That's what I always say.
I would guess if you're going to make a deal with the devil, you better dot your I's and cross your T's, because if there's a way to slip up, isn't that what usually happens in these things? Is you slip up somehow or you don't get real specific on the language and you get tripped up in that or something along those lines?
You think the devil would try to trick you?
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe it. He seems like a pretty straight stand-up guy.
He's not. Haven't you seen him? He's kind of like bent. He's got those animal leg things and hooves and stuff.
All the
crooked
goat,
as a dog's leg.
The goat
yeah.
legs?
Yeah. Yeah, that's scary looking.
Oh, that reminds me of your hell joke.
Oh. You mean about the guy that got to choose which room to be in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell that joke?
Well, if you're forcing me to.
I think you should. It's a pretty good joke.
All right. Well, the guy, you know, wakes up and finds himself in hell, and the devil's there greeting him, and he says, well, I'm going to give you your choice where you get to spend eternity. And he said, okay. So he goes, takes him to the first room and opens the door, and everybody in there is engulfed in flames, and they're all burning eternally and screaming in agony. And he says, no, that's not for me. Let me see what's behind the next door. So they open up the next door, and in there, everybody is chained to the wall, and they're all being whipped with cat o' nine tails and ripping the flesh from their bodies, and they're all screaming in pain and agony. And he goes, no, I don't want that one either. Take me to door number three. Whatever that is has got to be better. So he walks in there, and everybody is in there standing waist deep in poop and drinking coffee. And he goes, this is it? He goes, yeah, this is what's going on in this room. He goes, oh, well, it's not great, but it's not that bad. It's better than the other two. I think I'll pick this one. And he said, okay, it's fine. So he went in there and he got his cup of coffee. And right as they shut the door, he hears a voice come over the speaker and say, coffee break's over. Back on your heads.
I don't know why. That joke always cracks me up. You told me that joke probably like 1,000 times. And I laugh every time.
I use that as an inside joke sometimes. Somebody will say something and it's like something that's barely tolerable for some reason. And I'll say, yeah, coffee breaks over, back on your head. And they look at me like, what are you saying? Because I haven't told them the rest of the joke. I just use that as a line for something that sounds like they're trying to tell you something good, but it's not really.
You just assume everybody knows that joke.
Yeah. Well, they look at me strange. What do you mean?
Well, I thought before we get into the actual nuts and bolts of selling your soul to the devil like in a contract, it'd be kind of fun to talk about some of the different movies and it's been in popular culture. One of my favorite was in Tombstone. You remember it in Tombstone?
I don't remember that in Tombstone.
When they first go see the play, and it's where Wyatt first sees his love interest, Josephine, mm-hmm. and she's playing the devil in the thing, and there's a guy with like a, he's got a an amber-colored liquid in front of a candle, and he's like jiggling it back and forth to get the light effect on the on this theater.
Yeah.
And somebody looks over at Johnny Ringo talking about selling his soul to the devil. He's like, would you sell it? And he looks over, I already done it. So they're talking about that there. So, you know, allegedly Johnny Ringo sold his soul to the devil to become a fast pistolero, although he was not as fast as Doc Holliday. Simpsons actually did it.
Yeah.
Simpsons did
it. For a pink donut.
That's right. Homer was kind of clever about it, though, because the way he had his contract structured, he didn't eat the last bite of the donut, so he didn't sell his soul to the devil. But unfortunately, he woke up and got hungry and ate the last bite.
Yeah, and so how did he get saved?
I believe in that episode, Marge litigated on his behalf that she had already had his soul because then they got married.
That's right. She saved him by saying that his soul already belonged to her.
Yep.
And therefore, it was a, what do you call that when you sell something you don't really own? There's a legal term for that.
Fraud?
Well, fraud, I guess. But no, there's a legal term, but it's a defect in the contract or something like that.
Well, it's an impossible contract. Because you can't sell something you don't have.
That's what they were saying, that he didn't have the right to his soul, so he couldn't sell it.
Right.
So they ruled in his favor.
Now, there are some instances where, like, they talk about bona fide purchaser for value can actually get credit for something that somebody might not have owned if they paid value for it. But that's kind of a whole different theory than what we're talking about here. But
yeah.
There was
the devil in Daniel Webster.
What's that?
It was in 1937. Jabez Stone, a poor farmer, sells his soul to the devil in exchange for prosperity and enlists the help of the famous lawyer Daniel Webster to represent him in a trial against the devil.
Never saw that one.
How about Damn Yankees? That was a Broadway play.
Was it?
Yeah. And
I thought it was an 80s rock band.
Well, it was, but before that, it was a Broadway play, 1955. Oh. In this musical comedy, Joe Boyd, a middle-aged married man, sells his soul to the devil to become young baseball star Joe Hardy, whom the devil's servant Lola later tries to seduce.
That's the first instance of the Yankees being the most hated team around?
I guess so. Damn Yankees. There was a British film in 1967, Bedazzled, with Dudley Moore.
Well, there's a remake of that, too, with Brendan Fraser and Elizabeth Hurley, I think, right?
Could be.
I believe
sounds so. Sounds right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, everybody knows Charlie Daniels' song.
Yep. Devil Went Down to Georgia.
He was looking for a soul steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he's willing to make a deal.
Now, I have a theory about that, that I don't know if that was actually a contract or just a wager.
It was. It was a bet.
It was a bet?
It wasn't a contract. It was a bet.
All right.
Well, I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you.
Well, we'll get back to that one later because that's a bit further down in my my outline going over the nuts and bolts of this, because I don't know if that was a valid contract or not.
I saw them play that song live in Waycross, Georgia on the 4th of July in about 1988.
You and Charles went to that too, didn't you?
Yeah, Charles was there.
Yeah, I remember Charles saying he went to that and he had a t-shirt to prove it. I was pretty jealous.
Charlie Daniels in Waycross, Georgia, population about 310. I couldn't believe it.
You saw him play The Devil Went Down to Georgia in Georgia.
In Georgia. He was. I guess the devil was there too. I don't know.
Well, one song that I came across, and I've heard this song a few times, but I never really picked up on this, but I was searching some things out, I came across it, is Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe.
Yeah.
Have you heard that song?
I have heard the song. Now, I don't know the words, but I did come across, I think, the same way you did.
There. Well, you're a little lucky because I have some of the lyrics right here. It says,
I don't feel lucky.
I threw a wish in the well. Don't ask me. I'll never. Okay, we'll start over on that one. I threw a wish in the well. Don't ask me. I'll never tell. I looked to you as it fell, and now you're in my way. I'll trade my soul for a wish. Pennies and dimes for a kiss. I wasn't looking for this, but now you're in my way. So she says she'll trade her soul for a wish. So in theory,
pennies and dimes for a kiss with a cute boy.
Yeah. Now, here's the funny thing. The next line in that, and I came across this too, it says, I beg, borrow, and steal, have foresight, and it's real. But there's somebody who interpreted that line, says that have foresight, and it's real, is not really what she says. She says, hope for Satan, it's real. One of those misheard lyrics.
I see. It's like the backwards, this is the walrus, huh?
Yeah.
I am the walrus, whatever.
So, I never really thought about it, but I guess Carly Rae Jepsen is kind of selling her soul to the devil for a wish.
Wow. Well, she won't be the first musician to have been accused of that.
Who else do we have?
Well, I mean, if you go back a ways, you have a jazz musician. Well, not a jazz, a blues musician.
Oh, Robert Johnson?
Robert Johnson.
Yeah, that was in there was a movie called Crossroads with Ralph Macchio.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a take on that.
Yeah, I said that he was instructed to take his guitar to a crossroad at midnight where he was met by the devil, who took the guitar and tuned it. Then the devil played a few songs and returned the guitar to Johnson, giving him mastery of the instrument. In exchange for his soul, Robert Johnson was able to create the blues for which he became famous. But here's the thing. He did that at a young age, but he also died at a young age. He died at the age of 27.
That's pretty young.
Yeah. So, you know, you make these deals with the devil and might be, you know.
Isn't there some sort of thing where all these famous musicians die at a certain age?
Well, there was a whole lot of them that died around that age. If you look at it, like Jim Morrison was 27. Janis Joplin was 27.
They were all 27, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty spooky.
I know. It goes down. Eric Clapton sang that song about going down to the crossroads.
Yeah.
He was a good guitar player. I don't know. But, you know, they always rumored that about Led Zeppelin, that they had made a pact with the devil. And, you know, Robert Plant's youngest or firstborn son died of a mysterious heart ailment.
Hmm.
So a lot of people said that was the devil claiming the first son.
I'd heard that rumor, too.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was the supposed link, though, was his son's heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're going to sell your soul to the devil.
When you're going to, you say this like this is a normal course of business.
Hey, I've seen some things in my day.
I've seen some things, man. I've seen some things.
So, but it's important because when you make any kind of contract, especially for something as serious as your soul, you probably want to put that in writing.
Sure.
Wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But if you're going to make a deal with the devil, you better put it in writing because he's pretty slick.
Well, and I think it has to be in writing as well. There's a theory in law, and it's called the statute of frauds. And I think that's probably the first thing we need to look at. And I don't think we've talked about the statute of frauds before.
Statute of frauds sounds like the ship of fools.
That's a Robert Plant song, isn't it?
I think it is a Robert Plant song.
Hey, look at me.
There you go.
So the statute of frauds.
Statue of frauds.
The statute of frauds is a requirement that certain kinds of contracts have to be in writing, and they have to be signed by the party to be charged. And that's under common law, pretty much. And there's certain kinds of contracts that are required to be in writing in common law. And I'm going to go through those, and I think that probably selling your soul to the devil might be one of those. So contracts that are consideration of marriage. And this incorporates prenuptial agreements as well. So basically, a marriage contract has to be in writing.
Mm-hmm. And so, you're comparing a marriage contract to a deal with the devil? Is that what you're telling me? No wonder you're two marriages down.
contracts that cannot be performed within 1 year. So if something's going to take longer than a year, it has to be in writing to be enforceable. Hmm. Contracts of indefinite duration do not fall under the statute of frauds, regardless of how long the performance actually takes. So you could make an argument that selling your soul to the devil is something that goes on indefinitely because he's going to have your soul forever. So,
well, that's true.
Maybe that one doesn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
Contracts for the transfer of an interest in land. So this applies not only to contracts to sell land, but also any other contract on which land or an interest is disposed, such as like a mortgage or giving somebody an easement to a piece of property. So any kind of land sale or something like that has to be in writing as well. Contracts by the executor of a will to pay a debt of the estate with their own money. So basically, if you are answering for the debt of another, essentially, then you have to have that kind of contract in writing. So that's something that one of those classic ones. Contracts for the sale of goods totaling $500 or more is another one as well, has to be in writing. And that's usually covered under the UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code as well. That's contained in there. And contracts in which one party becomes a surety basically acts as a guarantor for another party's debt or other obligation. So that kind of is similar to somebody who is an executor of a will.
I can just see the devil. Now, wait a minute. This all has to be, you know, on the up and up with the UCC, or we're not going anywhere with this.
Exactly. It's like,
this devil, he knows his stuff, man.
We need to put this in writing right here, here, and here, countersigned.
Initial here.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, if you're buying a house, it has to be in writing and all that. So, I mean, I think I would argue that selling your soul is at least as important as a selling your house or a mortgage.
Well, there's a professor that did a breakdown on selling your soul to the devil with basic law terms. And he says that deals with the devil can illustrate basic contract law principles. One party wants something right away. The other party has to wait a long time to get what they want. That, in a sense, is what contracts are for. Some people call this presentation. You take the future and you effectively make it the present by making a contract.
Yeah.
Does that sound right with you, counselor?
It does. It sounds like a very theoretical interpretation of contract law.
Well, this was a law professor, more than a practicing attorney, I guess, and he was comparing this. I don't know, somehow he got the money funded for this study to compare deals with the devil in actual contract law.
He did a whole study on this?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole study on this thing.
Well, I like that. It's like the cut of his jib.
I don't know how you... I mean, when we were getting ready for this, I'm like, there's not going to be anything on this, some movies or something, but there's actual stuff pertaining to this. It's wild.
Well, I mean, it's one of those, it's a classic trope in movies and theater and everything. And so it has kind of a real world application to it, even though it's otherworldly, so to speak.
Well, yeah, so to speak. And most of the ones that you look in the prime examples of these people that supposedly made deals with the devil, they're back in like the 1400s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Well, that's when this whole Faust thing came to being originally.
He started it all, didn't he?
He did. That's the classic folklore legend was with Faust. So, yeah.
And it had an actual signed document in blood with Satan's signature on it, as well as like Beelzebubs and some other denomination demons.
Yeah. You got to have your witnesses.
Yeah, I guess so.
Be it demons or not.
Come see us at Satan, Beelzebub, and 10 Sons.
Satan, Beelzebub.
1-800, go to hell.
Now, we talked about Devil Went Down to Georgia and how essentially that was a contract. And I have a theory about why that may not be an enforceable contract. But before that, I think we want to have some motions, possibly.
Yes, Your Beelzebub, Your Honor. I would like to approach the bench to pay for court costs.
All right. Who do we have on the docket today?
Well, on the docket today, we have our good friends at ZipRecruiter. That name is just not a name you can just say, ZipRecruiter. You got to give it, it's like a superhero name.
It is.
ZipRecruiter.
Speaking of Halloween coming up, you know what's really scary and spooky?
What's that?
Trying to find somebody to work for you, to hire, fill a position.
I agree. I've had to do that before, and you just have people stumbling off the street, or you're looking at just resumes and know people and trying to figure out what's the best deal for you.
If you're in need of great talent for your business, but you're short on time, you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need to get the right tools, the smarter tools.
What if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, and less time-consuming? So even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire.
With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with one click.
Then, ZipRecruiter puts its smart, matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches.
That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you, it finds them.
You can even get a head start on the interview process by adding screening questions to your job post to help identify the most qualified candidates, so you don't have to waste time sorting through a stack of resumes to find the perfect fit.
That's why it's no wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results.
And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. What? Yes, that's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/appoint.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/appoint. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/appoint.
That Zip Recruiter!
Up and away!
Now, the reason I think that that whole Devil Went Down to Georgia thing may not be a valid contract is because if gambling is illegal in Georgia, which I do believe it is, then the contract would probably not be enforceable because contracts for illegal acts are not enforceable. So an illegal agreement under common law is one that courts will not enforce because the purpose of the agreement is to achieve an illegal end. The illegal end must result from performance of the contract itself. One of the classic examples of such an agreement is a contract for murder. That's an unenforceable agreement.
As well, it should be.
It should. So, but here's the thing I started thinking about. Is the devil really going to have to go to court to enforce this contract?
Well, I would think so if you're not going to hold up your end of the deal.
Well, I mean, do you think if the devil's going to force you to do something that some court's going to do something he can't make you do?
Well, no. I guess your soul, he's just going to grab it and walk off with it, I guess. I don't know.
I can just see me sitting in my office and basically getting a call from somebody. Mr. Meadows? Hello, this is Lucifer. I'd like to hire you. I have somebody who backed out of an agreement on selling his soul, and I'd like you to sue him for a specific performance in a circuit court in Cabell County.
Well, now, I don't know this for a fact, but I would say that Lucifer would represent himself, because I am sure that in his human life, he was a lawyer before he became the devil.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that. That's the only one that would be qualified for that position would be a former lawyer.
Well, I mean, if he did, the first thing I would ask him, I would say, well, do you have this contract in writing? So
no, it was a bet.
Yeah. Well, you got to have these things in writing,
though. Well, so the devil didn't have to give him that golden fiddle, did he?
He probably didn't have to. But he
wasn't that smart, huh? He outsmarted the devil.
He was an evil angel of his word, I guess.
Evil angel of his word. So even the most evil will keep their word sometimes, huh?
I don't know. Even lawyers will keep their word.
Well, now let's not get carried away.
So, but anyway, as I was saying originally, I believe that in order to be enforceable under the statute of frauds, that it would have to be in writing. So, because I think a soul is probably at least worth more than $500, which is one of those criteria, wouldn't you think?
Well, it depends on whose it is. Some guys I don't think are worth a plug nickel.
You don't think their soul's worth a plug nickel?
No, there's some of them that I don't. All right. Now, I came across this. It says, if you're going to sell your soul to the devil, here's how to do it.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me get my pen and paper right here so I can take some notes.
That's right. So it's come to this. You're at the end of your rope. You have no one else to turn to. No other options. Nothing to lose. Well, except your soul, of course. And you know you can't wait to get this red-hued, pointy, fingernailed mitts all over it. That's right. Old Scratch, Beelzebub, the Lord of Flies, Lucifer, number two fiddler. The devil is ready and waiting to take your soul in exchange for satisfaction of your worldly desires.
Did they just call him number two fiddler?
Yeah. I never heard that one before. That's what it says.
I kind of like that.
It says, you're going to want to check the current stock market value of souls before entering into any kind of exchange of content.
Do we have a ticker symbol for that?
I guess so. Avoid professional auction houses, estate sales, or price guides, as they may feature inflated values. Searching closed auctions on eBay will likely give you a more realistic expectation.
What? I mean, can you buy a soul on eBay?
Apparently, they have them. Look at closed auctions on eBay. See if there's any souls there. Make sure what you want in exchange for your soul will be worth spending your eternal afterlife eyeball deep in flaming hot lava, or having your entrails continually eaten by gibbering and insatiable imps.
Or upside down in a room full of poop.
That's right. Coffee breaks over. Recommended, trading your soul for wealth and or power. Not recommended, trading your soul for the Kansas City Royals season tickets. Watch out for loopholes. The devil will find some kind of ironic method of undermining or entirely invalidating your exchange if you give him half a chance. For example, you wish for immortality and you end up getting tricked into life imprisonment in jail or something.
That's actually a plot for a movie.
You've seen The Twilight Zone, right?
Oh, that's right. It's a Twilight Zone episode.
Now you're ready to call forth the devil and negotiate your deal. Using the blood of a goat, paint an unbroken circle in the floor of a deconsecrated church. I didn't know there was such a thing. While reciting the Lord's Prayer backwards, or you can check the yellow pages under souls bought and sold. you know, whichever's easier. When the devil appears, try not to choke or cough on the attendant smell of brimstone. That's no way to make a first impression, especially with someone who wants to torture and consume your spirit right from the get-go. Once you get the deal nailed down, you're going to be expected to sign a contract with your blood. First, read the contract. Not really. Read it. Don't just gloss over it like it's a Microsoft software agreement. Keep in mind the devil wrote this contract, and he's as bad as, like, three Bill Gates, at least.
They don't like Bill Gates, huh?
I guess so. As for the actual signing of the contract, blood will have to be drawn, and it's probably best if you let the devil do it. He's had a lot of practice, and surprisingly, he's very sanitary. Go figure. And he says, so there you go. You've made the bargain with the devil, and now you have everything you've ever dreamed of. Sure, you'll have to watch your every move to make sure you're not falling into some ironic comeuppance. And, of course, there's the whole eternal punishment after you die thing. But surely that's worth having a few decades of the good life.
Hmm. Well, I came across a website, and it was legaltemplates.net. And they actually have a bill of sale for your soul on their website. In fact, they have a complete series of pages dedicated simply to selling your soul to the devil.
This is actually on the internet.
Yeah, I came across it. I couldn't believe it. And when I say, like, it's thorough, I mean, it's thorough. They've paid somebody to really develop this web page. I couldn't believe it.
Every page number is 666.
Well, I don't know about that, but, no, but I mean, I just Googled selling your soul to the devil contract, and sure enough, they have a template for that.
Well, you better hope that by bringing it up, that didn't obligate you.
No, because you know why?
Why?
There was no consideration.
Oh.
Which is the other.
You considered Googling it.
Well, that's a totally different thing.
Well, the devil doesn't need much.
Consideration
he,
is...
He remember, gets a door crack. And
consideration, we talked
there.
About that before in contracts.
Yeah.
And that has to be an actual exchange of something like a this for that type thing.
Bodily fluids?
I'm not going to exchange bodily fluids with the devil. Remember,
you're riding in blood with him?
The example I used was a peppercorn. Trade somebody a peppercorn for some services or something like that. That's good enough because that's ample consideration.
I want to see you find a peppercorn. I don't even think they make them anymore.
They make them. That's where pepper comes from. And those little grinders.
Well, I don't ever see those.
You've never seen a clear peppercorn grinder?
I just get by pepper in a red and white can.
There you go. But now consideration, like I said, it's one of those essential things you have to have. So in a deal for the devil or deal with the devil, if you're giving him your soul, then essentially he has to give you something of value. Yeah. So if he gives you something and it's actually one of those tricks that they were talking about and actually doesn't give you anything, then that may not be a valid contract, even though he's trying to use one of those loopholes on you.
Well, I mean, if he gets you in semantics, that's your own problem, isn't it? Or is that an ambiguous contract?
Well, if you only ask for example, immortality, and then he tricks you into getting a life sentence, that's probably a valid contract because you have immortality. He has your soul. There's consideration.
So if you ask for immortality, say, and I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah, yeah. And you got to make sure I don't go to jail. So, but you know, then if you somehow get some cinder block shoes put on you and sunk to the bottom of the ocean and you're down there stuck.
Yeah, but you're alive.
Yeah, that probably would be a loophole then.
Well, he fulfilled his end.
That's right. Now, I'm thinking of something more along the lines of if you say, oh, I want to be the wealthiest person in the world or something like that. And he gives you a ton of gold, but then makes the value of gold go down immediately. That may be some sort of fraud, I would think, and actually not valid consideration.
Well, unless he was, what's that position in the U.S. Treasury or something, he can't do that. What's that one that makes the different values go up and down and the interest rates and all that?
Oh, the federal, the Fed?
Yeah, whatever, whoever that position is, I forget.
He's kind of like the devil, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories about that guy.
The devil's in the numbers.
That's right.
Devil's in the details.
So we have to have consideration for a valid contract, like I had said before.
Yeah.
It has to be in writing. Mm-hmm. And then the other question is, are you under duress when you're doing this?
Dealing with the devil, I would think you would be under duress.
I would think so, too. If you're making a deal with the devil and he all of a sudden appears with a puff of smoke and whatnot, then... That may be maybe some instances for duress to avoid that contract.
I don't see how you could deal with the devil and not be under duress.
I kind of agree with
you.
I mean,
even if you're really desperate and you think that you're getting the upper hand, who could ever feel secure dealing with the devil?
That's right. There's actually one instance on Saturday Night Live where Garth Brooks was on it, and with Will Ferrell was playing the devil, and Garth Brooks sold his soul to Will Ferrell, the devil, basically for a hit song. But whenever the devil appeared and he started playing his songs for him, they were all horrible.
Yeah.
And so basically that was not a valid contract, and he didn't actually lose his soul to the devil because, again, there was no consideration there. So there's an example of no consideration in a contract with you're selling your soul to the devil.
Well, I can understand that. You'd think he would come up with a decent song if he was going to do that.
You would think so. I mean, Fred Slax is a winner. That was one of his songs in that skit.
Well, he probably was shouting, "More cowbell, more cowbell."
More cowbell?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great song. Oh, well, that skit. The songs he actually played in that skit were pretty horrible.
I think I remember it vaguely, but...
You can't even tell it's Will Ferrell, really. He's got so much makeup on.
Yeah. Well, that's probably for the best.
Well, and so basically, here's the thing. Entering into a contract with the devil for your soul... It's probably not a good idea. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there.
Well, I would agree. Several of the ones that I read about in history that supposedly had made deals with the devil, of course, a lot of them, here's what was ironic to me. They were religious guys before they did this, like priests and noblemen and stuff like that with religious backgrounds. And they made deals with the devil for different things. And
who are some of these people?
Well, there was Theophilus of Adana. Or something. In 538, he says that is perhaps the oldest accusation of soul selling on record. Theophilus was a 6th century cleric who was accused of selling his soul to the devil to gain a position in the church. The story goes that he was originally unanimously elected as a bishop, but was too modest to accept the position. The guy who took over the bishop spot wound up making Theophilus's, I can't even say his name, his life pretty bad, so he regretted his humility and sought out a wizard to help him contact Satan.
A wizard.
In exchange for his aid, Satan demanded that Theophilus renounce Christ and the Virgin Mary in a contract signed with his own blood. Theophilus complied, and the devil gave him the position as bishop. Years later, fearful for his soul, Theophilus repented and prayed to the Virgin for forgiveness. After 40 days of fasting, the Virgin appeared to him and verbally chastised him. The Virgin did that. Huh. She said, "Now I told you about this, and you done and did it anyway. So Theophilus begged forgiveness, and Mary promised to intercede with God. He then fasted another 30 days, at which time Mary appeared to him again and granted him absolution. However, Satan was unwilling to relinquish his hold over Theophilus, and it was a further 3 days before Theophilus awoke to find the damning contract on his chest. He then took the contract to the legitimate bishop and confessed all that he had done. The bishop burned the document, and Theophilus expired out of sheer joy to be free from the burden of his contract."
Where he promptly went straight to hell.
Probably so. But that's what I was getting at.
I have another theory why that guy may have died.
How's that?
He hadn't eaten in 73 days.
That had nothing to do with it. It was all that devil stuff. Yeah, the food has nothing to do with it. The devil keeps you nourished there when you're on his payroll. But they were a lot of more holy guys, and then they got whatever they were asked for. Then they felt bad about it.
Right.
And they wanted to fix it back, and they ended up dying anyway. Whether it got really fixed or not, who knows? And then some of them were violinists. I don't know. Violinists seem to have been accused of making deals with devils.
Well,
Giuseppe Tartini and Nicole Paganini. I don't know. I don't get it.
Being a violinist must be really hard.
Yeah, it's kind of like a forerunner of
Johnny.
Johnny playing his fiddle.
You think they actually sign contracts with him, or do they have contests with him?
No, these guys actually sign contracts. It says that, like this one guy, he mastered the mandolin at 5 years old and started composing at 7. He didn't mess around. He made public appearances when he was 12, but by 16, he couldn't take the stress and sunk into alcoholism. He regained his composure at 22, came back to become one of the first music superstars. Not only did he compose huge amounts of works, many of them were so complex, even for today, that only he could play them at the time, because he essentially created his own way to play the violin.
Now, how old was he whenever he allegedly made this deal with the devil then?
Well, it says rumors of his involvement with the devil started when he wrote one of his famous pieces, Lostreghe. I don't know what that is. S-T-R-E-G-H-E, however you say that, Lostreghe, which translates to witch's dance. Audiences believe Paganini had a pact with the devil to perform supernatural displays of technique in exchange for his soul. There are even reports from people at the time who said they saw the devil helping him during his performances. Because of his widely rumored association with the devil, he was denied his last rites in the church. It took 4 years and an appeal to the Pope himself. They said, "Come out of that Pope-mobile," before the body was allowed to be transported to Genoa, but was still not buried. His body was eventually buried 36 years after his death in 1876 in a cemetery in Parma.
But I wonder how old he was whenever he allegedly made this deal with the devil. Because if he was a minor, I don't know if that would hold up in a court of law.
Well, he started out there early on. Maybe his parents actually made the deal for him.
Again, I don't know. I mean, can you contract on behalf of your children like that?
I don't know. Contract away their soul? It'd kind of be like selling a body part. Can you contract and sell your kid's kidney?
Well, it's funny you ask.
Yeah.
Because I had a thought about that when we were talking about selling your soul. Is a soul considered an organ?
I always thought of it as a white sheet with holes in it.
What?
That's what I always pictured.
You pictured your soul as a white sheet with holes in it.
Yeah, because I always said it was holy. So I just kind of pictured a white sheet with holes in it. And that was your soul. It just kind of lays right inside your chest there, and then it floats up in the air when you die.
I always thought of it as kind of like this heart-shaped looking organ that existed somewhere inside you.
I thought of it as more, you know, like otherworldly than that.
Well, I thought it was otherworldly. I just always visioned it as being like pretty much like an organ.
I just pictured like a big square white napkin with holes in it.
Good to know.
But that's how it fits in your chest.
But as I was saying, if you consider the soul to be an organ or part of your body or part of you, then actually contracting with the devil to sell it would be highly illegal. You're not allowed to sell organs and body parts.
In some countries you are.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure there's some international treaties about body part selling.
Well, it seems like that I've read these hard luck stories about people that sold a kidney to help out their families because they were so poor or something like that in other countries, and that it's okay. As long as you can't like sell your head or something like that. You know, you only got one of. You can sell things you got two of.
You can't sell your head?
Yeah, so I want to do a head transplant or something.
I've seen a couple of those on eBay. Head for sale. Come get your head.
Get a head. You need one.
Well, no, but anyway, that was my other thought when we were talking about this is like, Is it an organ?
In America, you can't sell your organs.
Yep.
You can give away.
You can give away your organs?
Yeah.
That would be an organ donor?
Well, or when you donate a kidney or something like that to somebody.
You can, yeah.
You just can't prosper from it.
That's right. Now, I wonder what happens if you do that and then somebody gives you a gift because of you did it.
Well, I don't think that you could do anything about that. It just couldn't be contracted for.
Right. So they couldn't be legally bound to do it.
Right.
They couldn't actually have a contract with consideration.
And, you know, I'm sure that they allow it in other countries because one of the arguments that they made for people being able to sell organs, is that it would reduce the list, you know, the backlog list of people waiting for organ donation.
Yeah.
And that these other countries have much lower lists of organ donations because they allow people to sell these things you got two of. Can't sell it if you only got one. You gotta have two of them.
I'm gonna run for office. Part of my platform is gonna be: if you have two of them, you can sell it. That's your right.
Anybody need a testicle? I got two of them.
I got two of them. One for each of you. So
only need one.
I don't. Do you need any anymore?
Is that an old joke?
Yeah, kind of.
Say I'm old.
But that was my next logical step thinking about selling your soul. Is it an organ? Because it might be illegal to do that too. So when you think about it, it's kind of a...
Reminds me about the joke about the streaker in the church.
What's that?
They caught him by the organ.
So the when thinking about this Halloweeny type Halloweeny type
no pun intended
Halloweeny type topic. That's why the next logical step was how it applies to actual real life contract law. And I think it's a good idea to, whenever you're trying to think about different legal theories and stuff like that, if you can sometimes couch it in playful ideas like this, because it really kind of resonates with you. Because it's more interesting than talking about selling a truckload of rubber dog poop for, you know, $500. It's more interesting to talk about selling your soul. I don't know.
Well, I think that's kind of what that law professor was getting at when he was relating it. I think that he was trying to make it interesting for his law students to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of interesting things you can think about. And there's a lot of examples throughout history and stories about people selling their soul for different things. So, you know, kind of, there's a lot of examples of it. Kind of fun to talk about.
And actually, that statement I made earlier is pretty true about contracts.
What's that?
The devil is in the details.
It absolutely is.
So yeah, you got to be careful what you write down there.
Yeah. And whenever I look at a contract, I'm always trying to think of any kind of loophole that there might be where it comes around. You're actually not getting what you bargained for.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same thing. Like, you know, when you're exactly talking about what the devil always does.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make sure my clients get the bargain of what they want.
Yeah. He's so, an expert in trickeration.
Trickeration.
Yeah.
And truthfulness. Truthiness.
Truthlessness.
Truthlessness. So as I was talking about earlier, probably not a good idea to sell your soul to the devil. However, if you do decide to do that, I would strongly suggest that you have a strong legal team behind you whenever you are selling your soul to the devil, so they can go over your contract for you and make sure that you're getting the bargain that you want and getting the best possible deal for your soul.
Yeah. Check out your value there on eBay, huh?
That's right.
See what their going rate is.
And I've never been hired to review a contract for selling your soul to the devil, but I'm up for it.
Check it out. Check out whether it's been damaged or wrecked or anything on Soulfax.
Soulfax?
Yeah. Just give me the Soulfax.
There was actually another website, too. I saw it was blackwitchcoven.com, and they have a website and apparently a YouTube video on how to perfect selling your soul as well. So if you're really into it, there you go. There's a couple jumping off points on where you can find it.
Okay.
So, but that's going to be enough about selling your soul to the devil.
I'm glad. I'm already scared.
I've already done it.
Oh, no.
That was my Johnny Ringo.
I don't have one left, I don't think.
You don't have a soul left?
No, mine's been eaten.
What was it eaten by?
Well, I always remember there was I think it was Night Gallery, which came along after Twilight Zone, another Rod Serling show. And there was the one that always got me, there was a practice, and this was supposed to be like in the Appalachian Hills or something, where when a person would die during the visitation, they would place like food around the casket, and the sin eater would come in and eat the food around the body, and it was eating the sins of the person that died, and that way they could have a better chance to go to heaven. And supposedly in this story, I don't know if it's real, it might really be a practice, I don't know. But in the Night Gallery story, that this guy was a sin eater and came in and would eat the food around there to eat the sins of the person so they could go to heaven. Well, then what happened is he went in, I don't know, somehow it got twisted around, and as he's eating the food at the end, he was eating the food of another sin eater.
Oh.
That was dead. And he was horrified because that was going to be too much.
Too much sin?
Yeah.
They couldn't digest it?
Yeah.
Too much sin to stomach?
Yeah.
That's kind of a creepy story.
I know. I always thought about that. And the sin eater, that whole concept to me just kind of creeped me out.
Well, that's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs.
Legal Briefs is a part of the show where we go over different legal terms that we talked about. And this one's ripe with all kinds of interesting contract tidbits.
I hope so.
So, what is consideration?
Consideration means that both parties have the chance to weigh what it is of value that they're each obtaining from this contract.
Well, it's not so much the weighing of the value, it's the exchange of the value.
Yeah, they each have something that they're exchanging within the contract.
Exactly. And the classic example is always a peppercorn. If you exchange a peppercorn for something, which you can't evidently find, you have no idea where to find
it. No, I have no idea about a peppercorn.
So you might do something different, maybe a donut for you or something.
Oh, I'd eat that.
Yeah.
That's not getting exchanged anywhere but my belly.
Now, there's a theory I talked about that says contracts have to be in writing. What's that called?
Theory of relativity.
It's a statute of frauds.
Statute of frauds?
That's right.
That wasn't a theory. That's a statute.
Now, can you give me an example of, let's see here. I listed like 7 or 8. Can you give me an example of two kinds of contracts that have to be in writing?
A will? Or no, you've said it's an estate. If I buy something from the estate or something like that, and I'm the executor, I have to have it in writing.
Yep.
And a mortgage and a marriage contract.
Whoa, there's three. The classic one is something that can't be performed in a year.
Okay.
And also, if it's for goods totaling $500 or more. So
it's got to be worth more than $500.
Yep. Now, why is it that you cannot have a contract like hiring a hitman to kill somebody?
Because you can't have a contract that obligates you to do something illegal.
That's right. That is a void contract. Can't have that.
Murder is illegal unless you're O.J. Simpson.
And that's civilly. So basically, we're not talking about criminally. I mean, there's a whole host of criminal things that would go along with that. But civilly, you couldn't go to court and say, Judge, I gave this guy $500 to go kill this guy, and he didn't do it. So
I want remuneration.
Yeah, I need my money back. Can you make him go kill him, please?
That's what always gets me about sometimes, like, these drug dealers get robbed by somebody, and they call the cops, say, yeah, a guy broke in here and stole my drugs. It's like, what are you doing? You're telling on yourself.
Yeah, I had a couple cases like that where it's been drug dealers robbing drug dealers.
It's like, I don't care. It's just not right. People coming in doing that, well, they're your clients. What do you think?
You've never seen the show The Wire, have you?
No. I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
One of the greatest shows ever on TV, but there's a character called Omar, and that's what he does. He robs drug dealers.
And that's what he does for a living? Is he a cop?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. He's just, he robs drug dealers. That's what he does.
Because they don't report it most of the time?
Pretty much, yeah.
I guess that's pretty good, but you're probably in not ingratiating yourself to a not very good group of clientele.
No, probably not. But he's probably my favorite character on that, so.
I got one for you.
Oh, okay. I always like it when you ask me legal briefs.
What was the most surprising term and used in referencing Lucifer that you found in the ones that we went over today?
Fiddler number two. Is that the one you're looking for?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh yeah, by far. I like that one.
Does that mean like he fiddles with number two? Is that what does that mean? You know, is it second fiddle? He's the main fiddle, isn't he? It
sounds like a clone.
A clone?
Yeah, a cologne.
A cologne?
Yeah.
Fiddler number two by Chanel.
Well, that's going to do it for legal briefs. You did pretty well today. And I think I did okay too, right? I got my question.
Yeah, you got your question right. I thought that one stood out there. I had to bring that one back.
Oh, yeah.
Up.
I will say, of all the people we talked about who were going to sell their soul to the devil, I think my favorite may have been Carly Rae Jepsen from Call Me Maybe.
Well, that was, you know, one, this is a historical fact. They have this, they have his pact on display evidently at a museum in Germany. Adolf Hitler supposedly made a deal with the devil for a supreme power, and it lasted exactly 13 years from the day he signed the pact to the day he died. And they have the document that supposedly is signed by him and Satan on display in a museum in Germany.
Really?
Yes.
Where? I've never heard of this.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a joke?
No, it's true.
I'll have to look this up.
You go ahead. Happy Halloweeny.
Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well then, not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
Mm, you You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually. Good. This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I am just a dude.